This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people. Okay, Sarah, I forgot to do this last episode. I need to know if you watched Baby Reindeer.
Oh my God. Yes, I did. I finished it yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
Oh.
And?
The most fucked up, beautiful, touching. I don't know what to think. The ending kind of saddened me. It really saddened me, actually, because this poor man is struggling.
The way he humanized her.
Yes.
I don't want to give too many spoilers away for anybody who's still saving this. If you are, what are you waiting for? Watch it immediately. I remember messaging you probably during the first episode when I was watching to tell you, like, I love this so much. And then after that, it got, like, darker. And I was like, holy moly, this is not the series that I thought it was. It changes you. It's one of those shows, I think, that just you walk away feeling different and thinking about things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I just keep putting myself in this man's shoes. And I feel like I would probably relate to him in a lot of ways or behave like him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that that's probably why the show is as popular as it is. We can just relate to him. Scarily enough, in the beginning, I could almost relate to her as well. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like I can see where she, not exactly where she's coming from, but like it made sense to me.
It absolutely did, why she was drawn to him.
Yeah. It was a very wild ride.
Highly recommend, guys. Highly recommend. I also highly recommend Julia Fox's audiobook or her book, Down the Drain.
My book club meets this Sunday and I'm still trying to cram in the rest of my book for that meeting. But after that, I promise, I'll listen to the
audiobook. I couldn't stop listening. Wow. And it's free if you have Spotify Premium.
Yeah, actually, has this always been a thing or did I just only... Okay, I'm like, did I just notice that there's all these good books on Spotify to listen to for free? This is not a Spotify ad, by the way.
No, it isn't. But oh my gosh, I could not stop listening. It was amazing. What a life. Wow.
I mean, I don't know too much about her other than all the viral clips and memes and all of that, but... I'll be interested to find out a little bit more purely based on your recommendation. Okay, guys, this episode we're going to be talking about Summer House, and I think we're just going to get right into it. Sarah is dealing with some aftermath of COVID still. She's not doing too great today, so we're just going to knock this episode out, and she's going to make it for as long as she can. Pray to the podcast gods that she makes it to the end so that you guys don't have to listen to me finish off by myself because nobody wants to hear that.
Everyone wants to hear that.
Absolutely not.
I may have to dip out, yo.
Yeah. Right now?
No.
Oh. I was like, already? We just started.
Okay. I just wanted to say dip out.
I gotcha, Tom Sandoval. You should buy his t-shirt.
Oh my God. Bless
me. All right. Let's jump in here.
Let's do it.
Summer House, Season 8, Episode 10, The Parent Trap.
Interesting title.
It was an interesting title, and it was an interesting meeting with his parents.
I just want to say one thing before we get into this. I have COVID, but I haven't lost my sense of smell this time. Because you know why? I can smell Danielle's desperation reeking from all the way over here.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Dude, yeah. Wild.
This was a very heavy Danielle episode in a way that was not enjoyable. This woman seems to think that desperation equals flirtation.
Yes. That sums it up perfectly.
And it's not a fun thing to watch. I don't love it.
I got the ick so many times during this episode. At one point, I was swatting her off of my TV. Like, that was my attempt. Close my eyes, swat her away like a fly.
If only that could actually work.
And you know what is so fucking funny?
What?
I paused the show this morning. I was doing a rewatch right as her bare ass is on my TV.
Oh,
and I
my
go
gosh.
And do a few things. And my husband walks into the bedroom.
Stop it.
And he comes out. He's like, what kind of smut are you watching?
For real, though, that felt like an aggressive blur. Like, that was an assault on our senses.
Yeah.
Do they get to agree to how much they're willing to show? Because that felt like a lot to
me. It did feel like a lot, especially like bending over.
Like maybe the editors are just as pissed off at Danielle as we are.
Well, maybe, but ooh, girl, yeah. No.
Yeah, well, we will definitely get into that in a few minutes here.
So we start off, of course, Carl and Lindsay, and they're still chatting about, you know, Carl's lack of career and how Lindsay isn't turned on by that. But babe, color me annoyed. Carl, why? You had the perfect opportunity. She says to you, I'm not trying to criticize you at all right now. And Carl's like, yeah, I know. And I don't want to say the wrong thing, Carl, because I feel like we're in a really good place right now. Yeah, you're not. He even says he understands what she's saying. In this moment, I thought, oh my God, Lindsay, I kind of get it now.
I hate to say I might be turning on Carl a little bit in this episode.
Yep.
Up until now, I've totally been seeing where he's coming from, and I don't think he's blindsiding her, and she's just been awful. But now all I'm seeing is a man who's telling everybody else about the problems in their relationship and not actually his partner. So in terms of a blind side, I'm starting to see maybe Lindsay has a foot to stand on.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know, dude. It was rocky. It's real rocky to be a Carl supporter right now. I don't know if I can do it.
I know. I want to like hold space for it. I'm hoping he's going to win us back. But right now he's losing me a little bit.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of the out of this world party, and Danielle kind of pulls Gabby to the side and asks her, how's your mojo? And this is the time she's like, I'm going to criticize your flirting technique and tell you that you come off as closed off. What the fuck, Danielle?
What a, first of all, terrible thing to do to somebody who you consider your friend.
Yeah.
She's like, Gabby, it's ridiculous that you want to actually like the man that you're hooking up with and flirting with. Like, have you ever just tried banging the first person who shows up at the door?
Seriously.
The whole episode, well, probably the whole season, Danielle's entire life, I'm just going to go there. Is this woman not understanding that other people have different points of view and different ways of living their lives?
Right.
It's just, it's honestly so cringy to me. I was cringing at this part of the episode from Danielle, like 30 yes! seconds in, which was bad because I nearly turned inside out during the rest of the episode.
Oh my.
Gabby is a slow burner, and that's okay. Danielle is running around on fire, and you know what? That's okay too. Don't judge somebody for going about things differently than you. And Paige is right. Danielle is always on this moral high ground in her mind that she can just cast all these opinions of everybody else. It's wild and it's so delusional.
Dude, where did that come from? Who told her she's that awesome? Because they're lying. I'm sorry. I can't stand Danielle, guys. I'm going to be ruthless. And I'm sick. So, yeah, it's just all coming up.
That just gives you, that's the COVID license. You can just be as sassy as you want to be.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, good. She sucks as a friend. Mm-hmm. She sucks as a person. Mm-hmm. She's terrible at flirting. And she has no standards for herself. And she thinks she can sit there and give Gabby advice? Uh-uh.
The thing about it that just really bothers me is how competitive she is.
Yeah.
She gets off on being the chosen one.
She's a pick-me through and through.
Exactly. The biggest pick-me. The pick-me-est of the pick-me's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not cool.
I was a little surprised when Gabby said she thought Balloon Guy was hot as hell.
I know. I'm like, is he the only single guy at that party?
Yeah. Ugh, sorry.
How bad are things when Joe the balloon boy is the only contender between you and Danielle?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I have a weird feeling. Like, I bet if Jesse was there, they might start fighting over Jesse. I miss Jesse this week. Gotta say.
Yeah, I wonder. He wasn't here last week either, was he?
Right.
I wonder if they would. I know. Okay. I don't wonder if Danielle would. Jesse would just have to give her some side eye and she would take all her clothes off. I wonder if Gabby would, though.
I wonder. I think Jesse would definitely not be into Danielle, though. He doesn't like that.
Nope. I don't want to be too mean, but it's just not fun when it's easy, okay? I don't have COVID. I don't have a license to be this sassy.
Yeah, it's not just easy. It's like... Desperate, pathetic.
Yep.
Anyway, man, oh man, things start spiraling fast. And Gabby reports to Paige and Amanda about what Danielle said. And then they confront Danielle because Danielle just obliviously, is that a word? Walks into a room, has no idea what is going down. And Gabby is in the bathroom sobbing.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack here because, okay, guys. As much as Danielle sucks, I don't think what she did to Gabby was the sole cause for this breakdown.
No, I think what Danielle did was like, she was the bitch that broke Gabby's back, you know, like it was the last straw. Mm-hmm. And I think Gabby's allowed to have an emotional cry, like her walking in to that shower and closing the door to cry. I'm like, that's a fucking vibe. And yes. I think we've all been there.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just the last thing that she needed in that moment was for Danielle to come up and say, listen, I see the way you're trying to flirt and it's all wrong. And the reason that no men like you is because you're really bad at this. And I think as well, something that we all need to keep in mind here, the last relationship that Gabby was in, the one that she references that really messed her up, was a man who cheated on her with Danielle.
Dude.
So... keeping that in mind, heartbreaking. Yeah, yeah. I look at, we might be looking at her as, well, you know, she kind of overreacted, but did she?
Like, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Danielle is the trigger for her, no matter what, no matter how much they love each other. And then to have that person.
Who your boyfriend cheated on you with.
Who your boyfriend chose. Okay.
Tell you that you're not flirting correctly and that that's the reason that nobody likes you.
Not okay. Yeah, that's so insensitive, man.
I'd be walking into a shower crying as well.
I'd probably go steal Joe to balloon guy.
How about when Paige points out to Danielle that she loves to dish it but can't take it? I was like, yes, Paige, go, Paige. Oh. And then Danielle brings up the fact that she is a CEO and founder.
Oh my God. I can't laugh. Oh my God, hold on.
And Paige is like, of what? I think we all said that unanimously, simultaneously around the world. I did a little research last night into her app that she's the CEO and founder of. It's still not up.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
She is the CEO and founder of an app that is not up. I don't know for sure because I don't have an Apple phone. I think it's just on the Apple store.
Oh, I see. Okay. Not going to look it up. Sorry.
She did have an app launch party, but apparently never launched the app. The app is there in the App Store from what I can tell, but you can't download it. Or like you download it and there's nothing there. You're not able to access it. So she just did release some merch, though, like a sweatsuit line that has the app name on
for it. For her app?
For her app. That doesn't. You can't. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the CEO and founder. And she seems to think that that is, gives her a license to, you know, she understands people. Okay.
It's just. It's so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. And it's ironic because this woman is literally living on a different planet right now. So it's a very appropriate theme. She doesn't see any of her own behavior being inappropriate.
No.
Wrong. She's totally insensitive. And I think for people like Gabby, who are very sensitive and in tune to other people's emotions, people like Danielle or this character Danielle is trying to play, I still can't figure it out because, like, Danielle 4 seasons ago versus Danielle today are 2 very different people in my brain. Okay.
They're starting to merge in my brain.
Okay.
I'm starting to look at past Danielle with current Danielle glasses and realize, like, I think maybe I missed out on a lot of things here. You don't just turn into this person overnight. That was always there.
But when she was with her boyfriend, Robert, you kind of forget about all this because she doesn't act like a fool, you know?
And going back to what you said about how she is, what did you say, so
insensitive and clueless? Yeah.
I don't actually know if she's insensitive or if she's just willfully obtuse because Paige actually says to her, you made your friend cry. She's in the bathroom crying. Like, maybe you don't think that what you did was wrong. However, you made her cry. You should probably go talk to her about it. Mm-hmm. And Danielle's like, apologize to my friend who's crying because I hurt her feelings? Absolutely not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
It's like she's doing it on purpose to me. Yeah. There's no way. I don't care if you accidentally hurt somebody's feelings and you don't want to apologize. If it's your friend, you probably still go in there and apologize or want to talk and sort it
100%.
Out. But Danielle just doesn't give a fuck.
No, because I think at that time she was her competition, not her friend.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because her only priority at this party was to get laid by Joe the balloon guy and beat Gabby. Poor Gabby.
That's a good point.
I don't know if Danielle means as much harm as she is putting out there to the world, but those types of things, those words can cut deep. Poor Gabby.
I know. And I think Paige is being a good friend here, but I also think that it's probably half her wanting to defend her friend Gabby, and then also half her already being irritated towards Danielle and what Danielle said about her and Craig that is kind of driving this anger in this situation. I also think it's funny that Danielle did behave like this with Lindsay, but because it was with Lindsay, we were all like, oh, Lindsay's such a bitch. But now that she's doing it to Gabby and like the other girls, it's like all of a sudden she's been revealed. Like we can see, oh, Danielle, like, this is actually Danielle.
Don't fuck with Gabby, bitch.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we didn't give Lindsay enough credit last season.
You know, I that is the thing with these shows. Each season, I mean, it's how it's supposed to be. That's what the editors and producers want us to see. And we fall for it every time. And then the next season, we're like, oh, what were we thinking?
And that's why we love these shows.
Yeah, totally. Because you kind of rotate through each character, love and hate them. It's so, so funny.
What did you think when Lindsay came in and referenced the conversation she had with Carl? And she said it was a breakthrough.
Okay. I think Lindsay just exaggerates a lot.
I was like, breakthrough?
It's a breakthrough for who? It's a prime example, though, of Lindsay's kind of delusional behavior. She's like, it was a breakthrough. He's going to get a job. That's how she took it.
It's the way she smooths things over.
Yes.
It was a breakthrough. So now we can move on and forget it happened.
Yeah. And I mean, she's so cute and adorable. She's like, oh, help me up. Boop. Give me a boost. Boop.
In my baby voice. Boop.
Oh, I heard it again to Gabby this time.
Maybe it's just anytime any like situation that calls for emotion. She's like, I have to regress to being a baby.
Oh, good point. We kind of have a friend that does that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And it's very weird because it's always in situations that are serious.
Yeah. Whoa, good point. Yeah. I've never noticed it. Or with men.
Yep. It's a, yeah, what is that? That is fucking weird, actually, now that I'm examining and comparing the two, because she has a very similar approach to flirting with men.
Whoa. Yeah, she does.
Anyways, we can't drop too many more hints or this person might figure out who we're talking about.
I guess it's not really a friend. It's more of an acquaintance.
That's another hint, Sarah.
Oh, sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on from this, you know, after Danielle has just heard how much she's destroyed Gabby, she's like, wow, this is so arousing. I'm going to go hook up with Joe now.
Oh, Gabby is sobbing upstairs for hours on end, crying. And Danielle starts smacking on Balloon Boy.
Okay. Like her version of flirting is just putting her hand on his ass.
Oh, I was physically repulsed. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. I think Danielle is beautiful. It has nothing to do with her looks. The ick factor comes from within and having to watch this performance.
Who she is as a person. It's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. I don't like her personality. I don't like the way she treats people. I fucking hate how she's turned this into a competition for Balloon Boy.
With Gabby.
And like, look at the prize.
With Gabby.
Look at the prize, babe. Look at what you won. Okay, ugh. That was the most pitiful little sex scene I've ever seen in my life.
So
and then
gross.
He like wakes up in the morning and he's like burping.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It was the limoncello.
Oh, honestly, I kind of thought they were perfect for one another.
I mean, yeah. I
like okay, not perfect for each other. They're on the same level. They deserve each other.
They're on the same wavelength. They yeah. have the same goal. I mean, Danielle just wants to remove every single obstacle from getting that P into her V. And he was on the same page. I'm not someone who ever has a fucking problem with that. Like, I've had my own hoe era. I love when women embrace that and yep. are, like, empowered by it. I don't think Danielle does it from an empowering stance, though. All I see from her is insecurity. And it feels as if this is the only thing she has that is of any worth to a man. That's where it mm-hmm. comes from in my point of view. So that's why it just icks me out.
Abso-friggin-lutely, babe. Absolutely. You can tell the difference. Okay, for example, let's take Jesse's gal that he brought home to the
yeah.
hot tub.
Yep.
Good for you. Rocking yeah. it. You're here. You're calling the shots. But then we have Balloon Guy saying, "You're the boss." And Danielle's like, "I like it." And I'm like, no, you don't like it. Okay. You just like anything. And that's the problem. No standards, as Gabby said. This girl has zero standards.
And like, you're not having good drunk sex with Joe the Balloon Boy. Okay. Oh. It's just not true. So acting as if it's the greatest thing that ever happened. It's annoying.
That's right. And it could have been anyone who walked in and she yeah. would have been in the same situation. At the end yeah. of the night. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's true.
It's just gross to watch, man. You guys know I don't like watching flirting. This, like, almost sent me. This almost made me turn my TV off. Okay?
Well, it's not flirting either.
No. It's a plea. Put the P in the V, as Neralda said. A plea for the P. I just need to comment one thing about Amanda. Okay. She's really taking this whole Danielle not taking her seriously thing to heart.
Mm. Well, with Amanda, I think it goes a little bit deeper and I think it ties into, it's almost like she's conflating Danielle and Kyle.
Yeah.
Like Kyle doesn't take her seriously either. Mm-hmm. So it probably stings when other people do it a little bit more to her.
Right.
And yeah, I had a thought about that as well.
I do feel for her, like, as we'll talk about later, but yeah, it's an interesting place where Amanda's at right now.
Yeah.
But at least we don't have to watch her and Kyle fighting, okay?
That'll be next episode.
Yeah. I did love, though, when Amanda was showing Kyle the lights that lit up when they spoke. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, boobies, boobs, boobs. Like, such an idiot. But yeah. that, just seeing them together, I'm like, aw.
They have their good moments. They definitely have their good moments. What did you think of Wes and Sierra this episode?
I don't know. I'm giving up on this relationship.
I think I might be as well. I don't know if she's necessarily gotten the ick from him. I don't think she's at that point.
Yeah.
Neither of them is making the move that the other one needs them to make. And one of them has to put on some goddamn pants here and make a move. And they're just not. They're dancing around it. I'm getting a little bit sick of this, you guys.
Yeah, I totally am. And even later on, Sierra's like, yeah, Wes and I shared a hotel room. No, we did not have sex. Okay.
I think what they have is dead in the water. It's like Schrodinger's box of relationship. We don't know what the potential could be because neither of them is brave enough to take that next step. She's not ready to have sex with him. He's not ready to admit actual feelings for her and make a commitment. And because neither of them, like, they're both waiting for the other one to do that, so that they can also then do the thing that they need to do. So it just doesn't work.
I get the vibe, even if West did say that, I don't think Sierra would go for it. Like, he refers to her as his girlfriend. That's kind of like opening the door a little bit, like creaking it a little bit. And she's like, you like me.
Yeah, she could definitely bust the door open at that point. Like, some women maybe would take that as a invitation to have the conversation. But I think Sierra is very much like, you need to sit me down and verbally tell me that you are falling for me and that you want me to be your girlfriend. Don't just call me your girlfriend in passing to your friends when you haven't even talked to me about it. They're just very different.
Well, he said it straight to her, though, in bed. Like, my girlfriend's an alien. And then she shuts it down pretty quickly, though.
Yeah.
So I do understand where West is like, oh, I'm too scared to go back to that place. And Sierra's like, ooh, he's too weak to go back to that place, you know?
That's exactly what it comes down to. I don't think they're a good match.
No.
They're like, I think personality-wise, they're a fantastic match. But relationship-wise, maybe not.
Be friends. Be friends.
Yeah.
That sucks, though. Okay, Danielle apologizes to Gabby the next morning after she escorts Balloon Guy out pretty quickly. And Gabby's like, dude, I felt super judged. And I like to like the person I make out with. I'm not here for just how hot they are. You know, like you are, Danielle. You have no standards.
I know. Literally, Danielle, this apology was very lame, in my opinion. She was like, now that I won and I got the dick, I'm ready to feel condescending. Like, I just want to give you a big hug because they said I made you cry, even though when I heard you crying last night, I said it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life. But now the next morning, I feel bad.
Oh my God. That, you know, didn't even really put those two together, but you're right. I made you cry. She loved it. She had glee about it.
Yeah, it's a power move for her, I think, Jesus. And she gets off on it. But all it took was Gabby explaining to her that, listen, I have standards. And Danielle was like, oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, no, I don't have any of those.
She admits it.
Yep, that's all we need to know.
I can't believe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school. I have never heard someone say, I don't have standards.
Let me see. I don't think Danielle expects us to take it like verbatim as truth. I think she thinks she's being funny when she admits to not having standards. But we're all like, okay, you admitted it. All right, at least you know as well. Like, she thinks we're all going to laugh. But we're like, yeah, you don't have any standards at all.
It's too real, babe, okay?
It's too on the nose. It's too on point. It's not funny. It's true.
I need to sign this petition that you were talking about last week. Get her off.
I've never seen the petition. I've just heard it referenced. So maybe we'll track it down.
Oh my God. I'm going to like bring it back to life. Okay. So we head over to Kyle and Carl, and they're talking about the conversation that Carl and Lindsay had last night about Carl's career.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. Okay. This is another X for Carl. So now that it's in the light of day and Lindsay isn't anywhere to be found, Carl is frustrated with her and the conversation they had last night.
Yeah.
He even goes as far as to pretty much job shame her back. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I had a thought, and I'm wondering if what's not being talked about here between Carl and Lindsay could be that they both are assuming they're going to be off the show. Like, as soon as they have kids, you're not going to be on Summer House anymore. And so that huge chunk of money that both of them are bringing in right now is going to be gone. So Lindsay's starting to get the ball in motion. Like, you know, you need to have a proper job here because we're not going to be able to depend on Summer House anymore. And he seems really bitter. And I hate to say it. Like, I know we kind of gave Lindsay a little bit of flack last episode. We're like, you know, you're an influencer. Like, what do you actually do? She's bringing in $150,000.
No shit.
Like, you're bringing in $70,000. So you're essentially making half of what she makes. Which, okay, in most parts of the world, $70,000, that's a lot of money. In New York, when you have $15,000 to pay every month in rent, it's not that much money. It's just not.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Especially for all the things they have to keep up with. I absolutely agree with you. The only other thing to consider, though, Lindsay, is that if you're not on Summer House, you're not really going to be an influencer anymore either, right? But Lindsay does have a career to fall back on, so she's set.
Becoming a mother as an influencer already, she's probably planning on becoming a mommy influencer. Do you know what I mean? And like still bringing in that kind of income. But Carl does have a point. Like, that's not sustainable for the rest of your life. So
No. The other thing that got to me is when Carl starts acting very surprised that Lindsay wants to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
You cannot convince me that these two have not had this conversation. Come on. With Lindsay, who's like a dog with a bone. I will admit, though, as a viewer, I do find it very hard to believe Lindsay wants to be a stay-at-home mom. So I can understand maybe being surprised by that as well at first. But Carl, the minute it is all on you to be the sole provider, you panic and now you're mad about it. And that's gross to me.
Yeah. That was the moment for me when I really started to see that maybe Carl is playing a little bit of a role here. There's zero chance that you did not know that Lindsay wants to be a stay-at-home mom, because we all knew. So she's been talking about it for years that she wants to be a mom. And I don't think stay-at-home mom to Lindsay means what Carl's trying to say here either, that he's going to be the sole provider. She's still going to be hustling and doing her influencer thing. So him trying to paint it as like, oh, all of a sudden, like, I need to go get a 9-to-5 job to support her is not true. Like, she honestly is probably still going to be supporting you as a stay-at-home mother.
Seriously.
Okay.
Seriously. And saying the fact she's a woman and that's why she makes more as an influencer, I'm like, go fuck yourself, brah. Don't like it.
It's not looking great for Carl.
No, sorry. I'm in the fuck you, Carl era right now.
Yeah,
still Danielle's number one over here, but that's fine. Did you want to talk about the Old Navy
commercial?
Commercial? Yeah.
What was that?
I've never seen this before in one of those, these shows.
Though weird. I have a conspiracy.
What? Oh, Amanda. Oh, of course.
Yep.
Her fashion designer line.
Her bathing suit line for bigger breasted women.
Of course.
It must be coming out in Old Navy. Why else? I don't believe for a second that these women are shopping there.
Well, I'm like, excuse me? Why Old Navy? Like, as if Paige shops at Old Navy.
The thing that she does do, like, Amazon Live videos for, like, outfits that she puts together from Amazon. So
I think Amazon is connected to Bravo, though. Because Kyle Richards is huge on the Amazon Lives, too.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Yeah, and Lala.
I feel more surprised that Amanda would shop at Old Navy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to say her style is so good for her.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how to dress, I will say that.
So the thing I really loved about this scene was Paige and Sierra and the way that this is probably something they've wanted to say to Amanda for a while, mm-hmm. and it is something that could really hurt your friend's feelings, but the way that they did it, like, they really gassed her up about it, and they, you know, probably gave her the most confidence, and I can see long-term, this might be the beginning of Amanda becoming way more independent and filing for divorce.
When a woman is empowered, a woman who has been cut down continually by their ex, by their partner in insidious ways in which Kyle does do that.
Yeah.
It does take a group of women and your best friends to rally around you and say, yo, you're talented, you're smart, you're amazing, you're beautiful. And they pumped her up so well. I was scared when I heard Sierra say, do you feel like you have an identity outside of Kyle and Loverboy? Because I don't. I'm like, oh my God. But Amanda took it so gracefully. And sometimes you just have to hear the hard truth, right?
And sometimes it needs to come from your friends. And I really loved that moment. Hated that it happened in an Old Navy.
Yeah.
But maybe we are just laying the groundwork for the big boobed bathing suit line. It's coming out.
Love it.
If it does come out in Old Navy, then I'm going to feel like a fucking genius. Although I'm pretty sure every single other person watching probably had the same thought.
Not me. I'm just like, what the fuck, Old Navy? Okay, the final scene where Carl visits his mama and his stepdad, and they talk about his relationship with Lindsay. Wow. Like, it's very, very evident these two are in on the conversation. They're here to give Carl the pedestal to speak and get everything out and try to make him look good. I don't know.
I think the talking points were probably agreed on beforehand. I also think that Carl's stepdad is likely saying all of the things for Carl's mom, because he doesn't want Carl's mom to look like a dick on TV. And I think that this just really proves as well that the avoidant personality type that Carl is comes from his mom, because she's not really getting involved in this conversation. She's just kind of looking back and forth. But you know that these are her thoughts as well.
For sure.
Yeah. Stepdaddy is not about this marriage going forward.
He is not. Step-pop even went as far to say, like, Carl was abused.
Yeah.
And that, okay, I totally understand. We can see if people are being abused, I think, quite clearly, if they're our kids and our best friends and all of that. But it feels very one-sided because Lindsay wasn't even there. They are simply going off of what Carl's saying. And I know that should be enough, but his mom has like a very close friendship with Lindsay.
Yeah.
So like maybe that just proves she knows more about their relationship and we should be believing her.
Well, didn't mom go on the honeymoon trip? Like, I feel like I remember Lindsay getting really upset because Carl's mom went on the honeymoon trip after.
I think you're right. Yeah.
It just, like what you said about how they're only reacting on what Carl has been telling them about Lindsay, and it's very one-sided. That's what Carl's doing to all the friends right now. Like, Kyle, like, everybody's just getting Carl's side. And so are we, kind of, as well, on the show. Yeah.
We have to be fair.
In terms of the abusive side of things, I also don't want to go so far as saying that I don't see that, because I did during the alcohol related stuff. I do see that as being abusive. I'm just seeing things probably maybe a little bit more from Lindsay's side in these last couple of episodes.
Yeah, I know. It's so tricky because the reality of the situation is Carl does need someone who's sober. They all pretty much said that in this conversation, you know? I felt so supported when Lindsay was sober. But then, you know, he does say, but I can't control that from her. But Carl, you are allowed to have preferences. You're not Danielle here, you know? Yeah.
And if that's something that's important to you in a relationship and a marriage, don't ask somebody to marry you who's not sober. Well,
this is it. Yes. And okay, going back to what you said before, like, I don't want to discount the abuse. And we have seen abusive behavior from Lindsay. We aren't seeing it from Carl. But I do think Carl is manipulative. And this is manipulative behavior, talking about how he was fearful of Lindsay and all of these things. I need to believe Carl because he's a victim, right? But I do know there are two sides to this. So hopefully we get more of Lindsay's side. And I think the Paige and Amanda factor here, with her confiding in them, we may get a little bit of a balance coming, hopefully, because it's tough right now.
I hope so. Like, we're seeing, or I see all of these aspects and issues that Carl has with Lindsay and who she is as a person, her behavior. And I think they're valid. I think a lot of people think his concerns are valid, but I don't see him talking to her about it. He smiles to her face and then talks about this behind her back to everybody. In that respect, I'm starting to see the blind side from Lindsay because she's not getting that truth.
And that clip from next week when Carl sits her down is like, so like my mom and dad basically said they don't want us to get married. And that is a blind side.
But that's also manipulative. Because you need to say, I don't know if I want to get married. Don't say, everybody's telling me not to get married to you. But why? Where's that coming from? It's coming from what you're telling them.
Yeah. Yes. I absolutely agree. He is using Lindsay. Oh, man, this guy's getting on my nerves. But
you think he's using her?
I think he's used. Sorry. No, he's not using Lindsay. I think Carl is absolutely using everyone else to cover up how he really feels for Lindsay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
To tell her how he really feels.
Now he's going to use his parents to try and get his own feelings across. And I just don't respect that aspect of it. I would just, he needs to come out and say it, even if he is afraid of her, I guess. Yeah.
Which gives him a more warranted reason to say it. If you're scared of talking to someone, honestly, don't marry them, honey.
No, don't keep going forward. Don't stick your head in the sand.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of that.
Guess what, Sarah? You made it.
I did. I didn't have to dip out. Whoop.
I'm so happy that I didn't have to do this alone.
I always love talking about Summer House. This episode was not my faves, but it was still very good. Too much Danielle.
It's just a little too much Danny for my likes, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to take the good with the bad. So Summer House is always a treat to talk to you about. Hope everybody's heading into a great weekend.
Woohoo! I'm going to go bake my sourdough loaves now.
And freeze for Norelli when she comes to visit.
Damn right.
Right?
Damn right.
All right, guys. Make sure you head on over and check out our Vanderpump Rules episode if you haven't already. And hit that subscribe button so you never miss out when our new episodes air.
Yeah. And if you're feeling extra happy because it's Friday, why don't you just go on over and rate our show and give us a 5 or 4 star?
5 star. Yeah. Well, let's just shoot for the stars here. Let's okay. Go 5.
Yeah, fair.
Literally
fair.
Shooting for the stars. And you know what? Even if you're having a bad day and you're feeling awful, it'll probably pick you up a little bit to leave us a great review. Makes you feel better to do a nice thing, right? So make yourself feel better. Make us feel great. I hope everyone's having a great week. But until next time, stay truthful.
But not hopeless.
Bye. Good. Love you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.